Glick. Well, I'm going to call the meeting to order at 8:32 a.m. with Councilman David Jordan, Councilwoman Vaughn Billy, Secretary Summers, Councilman Brandon Stevens, Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, and myself, Melinda Danforth, chairing the meeting this morning. Chairwoman Danforth is on travel. DeHasse is attending a Faith Keepers meeting this morning until noon, and Trish is on vacation today. So we're going to start this morning with a few special recognitions. We'll start with the retirement of June Womack from Head Start. June had over 25 years of service with the Oneida Nation, and she has been taking care of our babies for a very long time. So it's our pleasure to introduce our Head Start administration to do the presentation along with Councilwoman Jennifer Webster, who is the liaison to Head Start. So go ahead, Joan. Or not Joan.
Tina.
Tina.
It's okay. Good morning. I'd like to recognize June for her retirement. We're going to really miss her. June is one of those early childhood gems that you find that really loves little kids, and the kids know that. So I'm going to read what we wrote about June. June has provided 29 years of continuous commitment to the United Nation. Throughout the years, June has dedicated her career to the United Head Start program. She is dedicated to the very young children in the community, especially in the area of Oneida culture and language. She has been instrumental in developing Oneida language and cultural materials for the classroom and enjoys her time sharing her knowledge with the children in the Head Start program. June is always willing to help out where needed, in the classrooms, on the bus, or helping a child learn a new skill. She loves to share her stories. She has a favorite Gunny Wolf story. Her love of art and wisdom. June will be missed, and we hope she visits often for hugs, smiles, and the celebration of our future children. We are really going to miss her. And I don't know if anyone attended the graduation, but June really helped with our kids learning the Oneida language opening, and they did it at the graduation from her classroom this year. Thank you, June.
You don't go, June, for years of service, a well-deserved retirement, and thank you for taking care of our babies so well. We very much appreciate your service to the United Nation, and they always say that retirement is much more busier than being employed, so expect to be busy. Congratulations. The next is a special recognition for Kevin Schenebeck, and just a little hint, Kevin has received an award that only two people in the United States have. So I will let the Oneida Family Fitness Center and Governmental Services Division Administration present on behalf of Kevin. Susan?
Kevin is not retiring. And we're very happy about that. Kevin has been with the tribe for over 20 years. Yep. He has been teaching probably us, our grandkids, our kids, our parents, Taekwondo, Tai Chi, Eskrima, all of these different martial arts forms. And we are so fortunate to have Kevin here at Oneida Fitness. He was just awarded the, and I'm going to mess this up, and I apologize, the ninth degree Fifth degree. I'm going to let Kevin say.
So I was awarded a master instructor title, which is, the title is called Kyoshi. And Kyoshi in Japanese means the wizard, okay? And so that was the title. And so I'm the second one outside of California that has, in our organization, that has achieved the title. And so it was an honor, it was a surprise, and so it was kind of fun and kind of interesting. So thank you.
Invite Brandon down as one of his former students so that he could practice on Brandon. And if some of the students would like to come over and say some words about how great Kevin is.
My name is Bill Duffy. I'm with security. I've trained with Mr. Schenebeck for 30 years. We trained when we were working here at Norbert Hill for many years ago. And this title is very special. He has trained long and hard for it. And I'm very appreciative that I can be a student of his.
Good morning. My name is Heather Lee. I work in Family Support Services. This is not planned, me speaking here, but I've been a student in jujitsu of Master Schenebeck's for a little over a year now, as well as three of my children have studied under him for taekwondo. And he is such a blessing, and one of the things that makes a wonderful teacher is he can explain something to you unlike anybody else. So if you're struggling with a move or you're not understanding, he's just able to make it fun, and he is encouraging, and he's just one of those teachers. He can explain it in many different ways until it clicks with you. And so being a student of jiu-jitsu has been extremely empowering and challenging and amazing, and it wouldn't be that special if it wasn't for him. So I'm truly grateful. I tell him that every time I get a new belt. I'm like, I'm so thankful for you. So thank you.
And I guess I want to say just it's been, I think it's been 22 years, I know, since the fitness center was down over at the wing over there. And that's me and my brother. And I remember Z-Ron was in those lessons, and I think we were like white belts and yellow belts for like 3 or 4 years, and we just never tested out. But yeah, it provided a lot of discipline and a direction for us as young men, and it really helped my dad, you know, with two young boys, just releasing a lot of the energy that we had. And so we carry that on today. We see him still around. He still looks the same age as then, and I just like to thank you, Mr. Schenebeck, you know, for all you've done for us. Thank you.
Dominique.
My name is Dominique. I'm one of the fitness specialists, so I get the honor of working with Kevin every day. Like Heather said, it's really a blessing to be able to learn from him and just kind of build more confidence along the way. So thank you, Kevin.
Well, much like June from Head Start, you've seen a lot of our babies come through as well, and generations of families, as you have served the nation well in the fitness center, in our small facility, and now our new facility over there at the Family Fitness Center. So we appreciate your service to the nation. Congratulations on such a distinguished award and honor. So, Yonko.
Smile.
Next is to the adapt the agenda for today. There are some changes to the agenda.
Madam Chair,
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to adapt the agenda with the following two changes. In executive session, unfinished business, item 11E04 will be combined with item 11A03 because of their similar subjects. And then also deleting item number 11F5.
One additional, Madam Chair. I'd like to be excused at 11 o'clock for the presentation with the State Historical Society.
Okay. Any other changes to the agenda? If none, all those in favor of... Oh, there's no second. Lisa?
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. Mike?
Thank you. I just had a couple of quick questions. On page 6, number 7, and then under F, page 7, F, new business, number 2, are you guys planning on addressing those today? I mean, hopefully, if time permits, are those going to be addressed?
We did not get through the entire executive session yesterday, so we'll have to reconvene, but yes, we do plan on addressing both of them today.
Okay. I only asked that because of the GTC directive that was handed out at the last GTC meeting.
It has nothing to do with the GTC directive.
Well, discusses reorganization, so I think it does.
No, it does not. It's two totally different proposals.
Okay, we'll see. Thank you.
All those in favor of adopting agenda with those changes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The first item of business then would be to administer the oaths of office for the Oneida Public Safety Pension Board. We have Nathan Ness, Joel Maxim, Ronald King Jr., and Jack Mahuji. If you guys would please come forward and so we can administer your oath of office. And then for the Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee, Carol Silva, Benjamin Scandador will be deferred to the June 14th meeting for his oath.
To uphold the laws and regulations
of the United Nations,
the General Tribal Council,
and the Tribal Constitution.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability.
And on behalf of the United People,
with honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities.
As a member of the pension board.
And all recommendations shall be made.
In the best interest of the United Nation as a whole.
As noted earlier, the business committee did not finish executive session yesterday, so we have a full day of work ahead of us, so try to keep the meeting on track as planned. The next set of issues is the minutes for May 10th. Here for approval.
Motion to approve.
Madam Chair, I'll second adding a note that for executive session, I am noted as absent, but I'd also like noted that I was absent because I was attending state tribal consultation meetings.
Concur.
Okay. There's a motion by David, seconded by Lisa, to approve the May 10th, 2017 regular business committee meeting minutes, noting that for executive session, Secretary Summers was absent due to being on travel for state tribal consultation. All right, to all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Abstentions? Jenny abstains. Motion carries. Next, under resolutions, is a request to adopt the resolution entitled Legal Resource Center Emergency Adoptions.
Madam Chair.
Brennan.
November 15th, GTC passed a motion to have the business committee establish the General Tribal Council Legal Resource Center. And so what this resolution does is establishing the Legal Resource Center, and kind of it really defines what the advocate's duties and responsibilities are. And so absent of any of those things, the advocates would have no methods and processes and how they operate as a legal resource center. And so this resolution will be adopted, if adopted today, on an emergency basis to make sure that all those duties and responsibilities are known for the July 8th meeting for the two advocates that are on the ballot.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution entitled Legal Resource Center Emergency Law.
Second.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Brandon, to adopt the resolution entitled Legal Resource Center Law. I did have one question, and that was there was a section in here that indicates that for the advocates representing clients that they had to be qualified to represent. So, like, I don't know if there's any additional qualifications, like in the family court, or and if they didn't have those qualifications, they wouldn't be able to represent in that court of law.
I can answer that question. I know that there were some talks in the children's code about requiring special training. And I put that clause into the Legal Resource Center law in case any laws come out in the future that would require the attorney or advocates to undergo any specialized training to practice under that chapter of the law.
Okay. We'll have to add that to the training part of it then for the advocates when they come into office. The other one was in the resolution. There was a section where it talks about that the that there be an implementation or transition plan. And is that assigned to the business committee then? As a body?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have something?
Yeah, just we had to develop the law in the fashion that is here today because there was no supervising attorney that was on the ballot, and so we had to figure out some type of structure on who would manage the office, manage the cases as well. And so in the further resolve, it talks about how, like the lead, I don't know if that would be the right the terminology, but the highest number of votes shall be elected to the 4-term, and then the other is to the 3-term, 3-year term. So it just establishes that staggered process for, and so we're still developing with the law as far as the duties of the lead advocate as far as the highest vote getter.
Rob?
I'll just note that during the last business committee meeting, the decision was made that there was not going to be an advocate deemed the lead advocate, and that the two advocates were going to share the duties in office. Yeah. And that since there wasn't a supervising attorney, instead of having a 3-year term and a 2-year term, that it was going to be a 4-year term and a 3-year term to give that office some consistency and stability.
Thank you. Kathy?
Thank you.
just for clarification's sake, because it has, since the beginning of this legal resource idea, it has appeared to me that it's been undermined. So for clarification's sake, I oppose this current LOCs, and I've been for the last 3 years, the intent of the things that the laws and the policies that you are working on changing and have changed. I have all along opposed and disagreed with your choices and such. But for clarification's sake, you're trying to create a law that to me looks and sounds and appears that it's undermining its original intent. One thing I would like to know is if you were working closely with the motioner. I know from personal experience that once a motioner makes a motion, you don't cooperate with them. I have personally experienced that myself. It depends on who you are and who you know, which is my opinion for the last 30 years. So for clarification's sake, one of the points within this whole thing is you created a $17,000 salary, I believe, and that's way below what other attorneys are getting paid. So once again, to me, it appears as if the undermining and the original intent of whatever you guys are trying to do with this legal resource center is unclear to me. So I'd like clarification on that. Why is the lawyer salary so low? And because this lawyer would be representing General Tribal Council and representing the people. So it's like you're taking away from the people once again. And that's just my opinion, and I'm just stating that that's the way it appears to me. That's why I'm asking for this clarification.
Well, your statement with regards to a lawyer being hired for $17,000 is just simply untrue. I have budgeted in the Legal Resources Center for the attorney to receive approximately $80,000 a year. And again, nobody applied, and we did not receive any applicants. And there's feedback about why attorneys didn't want to be elected to that position. So General Tribal Council is going to have to take up that issue soon about what they want to do, hold another special election, or change the position requirements or elected status and just do a contract with General Tribal Council. That's a possibility, too. As far as developing the law, when General Tribal Council directed it, I've been working directly with Gina on this, and she is the motioner. Although we disagree on a few items, for the most part, she has been supportive in wanting to get that office up and running, but understands and wants the advocates and the attorney to follow the rules that are in place with the judiciary. So that's the reason for the law. It provides clarity around how long their terms are. It provides clarity that they have to follow the judiciary. Rules that they have to be admitted to the court. So those are some of the items that are contained within the law that it addresses. So when you say undermine and when you say that you don't approve it, I'm not sure what you're referencing, but that's okay.
This is the first time I'm hearing $80,000. I haven't seen it anywhere, and I haven't heard about it. I know there's a lot of discussion out there. I don't have the time to be running around, you know, for some people when they ask questions about things. But I will ask the question, and if you could provide me a copy of that $80,000 salary, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Mike?
Thank you. You partially answered one of my questions. I think in all fairness, I think a lot of this does need to come back to General Tribal Council. And the reason why I state that is because I've got some real concerns with the way it was partially being developed at the beginning. And what I state is when, if it's the business committee possibly looking at a contract, to me that just won't work. And the reason why it wouldn't work is because the business committee then would essentially be supervising or have some authority over that attorney. And that attorney is supposed to be acting on General Tribal Council's behalf. So I think it should be GTC that selects that attorney.
And it's just an idea. It's right. not... It's, right. I have to bring some options back.
Right.
And, honestly, it's obvious that General Tribal Council wouldn't want the business committee to supervise the contract right. for the attorney that's going to be theirs. So the question is then who does?
Right.
So that's kind of, like I said, it's just an option. It's an idea. It's not something that I'm willing to, go to bat for. It's an option, though.
Right.
And might not and be a good option, but it's an option.
Right. And you just alluded to that. Who would be their supervisor? I think their supervisor would be General Tribal Council. If that attorney is there to represent our interest at those meetings and for whatever that case and purpose, stated purpose or intent is going to be, then I think that attorney needs to answer to General Tribal Council. So,
okay.
Just my point. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on the General Tribal Council or the Legal Resource Center law? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. So next on the agenda is the May 3rd LOC meeting minutes.
Madam Chair, move to approve.
Support.
So motion by Jenny, seconded by Fawn to approve the May 3rd LOC meeting minutes. Questions or comments? If not, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. The next item under LOC is the approval of per capita rule number 1 and the hunting, fishing, and trapping rule handbook certification.
Okay, this rule number 1 is before the business committee. The LOC certified that the entity followed the rulemaking law. And the summary of the proposed rule is to create a process for the trust committee with the approval of the trust. The trust committee needing to get the approval to allow the trust department to determine the valuation dates for the minor trust accounts and to address prior adult per capita payment distributions and determines when a guardian qualifies for distribution from an established trust and addresses the dissident's trust account balance distribution. So these real technical things that just give the trust enrollment department guidance on how they'll process these events with the trust committee's approval.
Questions from the committee on the rule? On the per capita rule?
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to approve the per capita rule number 1 distribution rule certification.
Is there support?
Support.
Supported by David. Mike?
Thank you. Can I get some clarification at lines 20 under 1.2-5? This rule supersedes all prior rules, regulations, internal policies, or other requirements relating to the per capita law. If I'm understanding this correctly now, under the LPA or under the rulemaking authority, then trust and enrollment would have sole authority to change that? And would that then be brought back to General Tribal Council at some point, or no? Would their ability then, I guess, for lack of a better term, be able to make those changes and then tell GTC afterwards as opposed to doing it prior to?
And what changes are you talking about? The rules?
Whatever they're going to do. Because according to this, it says the rule supersedes all prior rules, regulations, internal policies, or other requirements relating to the per capita law. So now then, is that authority now vested totally 100% in them, that they can do it under the rulemaking? Because if it is, that's where I would have some serious concerns.
Yeah, let Crystal have a detailed answer for you.
So the administrative rulemaking law is changing standard operating procedures into rules so that you have the transparency. They're all listed on the website. It's very clear to everyone what the expectations are. What this is saying is that if there's any internal policies or rules, then those are all items that GTC never had approval authority over in the first place because those were internal procedures of the Trust and Enrollment Committee. What we're saying is where those procedures affect members of the community and the community needs to know what is expected of them in order to comply with those procedures, that they need to be rules and they need to go through the rulemaking process. That's what this rule has done. Neither this rule nor the per capita law have ever required GTC approval in order for adoption.
But GTC is the one who passes per cap. So as a result
Not
of that,
true.
It is true.
No,
it
passes GTC the budget. Is the party that passes the dollar amount of the per capita distributions.
Correct.
The business committee is the party that passes the per capita law.
And so what this really does is just create, a lot of the departments have operating procedures, standard operating procedures that are within. And so what we've been doing is we've been going through a lot of these, the laws, and making sure that some of these are standardized with rules to say that, okay, now the community has input rather than having internal policies that can change, you know, not necessarily overnight, but they can change a lot easier than a rule. And so when a rule is established, then these processes will have to follow a certain protocol, which the LOC vets to make sure that, and they certify, then the business committee does the last, what we're doing here today is making sure that they're in compliance, you know, with everything, they're, you know, all laws and statutes, really. And so what we're really doing is making this more transparent and bringing those SOPs out in the open and make them, if they want to change them, those they're in the form of rules now, and they have to go through a community process with the community meeting and get input. So that's really the change that's happening here today.
I understand what you're saying, because you can read it a couple different ways. And what I think, and Mike, confirm this or not, the way that you're reading it is that this rule will supersede the per capita law. Elements in the per capita law.
Right, elements
and that, of it. And that is not the intent of rulemaking authority. Rules will not ever supersede anything in the law. Rules are, the law never covers every single process or any types or every single type of, you know, just like our complaint SOP. A law will never tell you that you have to date stamp it, that you have to do this, this, and this. This rule relates to per capita. The law is not clear about how trust enrollments value those accounts. When they're distributed for guardians, you know, they have their own internal procedures. And because it impacts tribal members, what the rulemaking law is trying to do is say, you know, because they have their own process on how they do that, but they're not readily available on the website for tribal members. They're not readily available for you to access to understand how and what their process is. And so the rulemaking says now you have to publish them as rules. Now, if you're going to value somebody's trust account, you have to show how you do that and when you do that. And that's what the rule is. It's telling you how the trust committee values those accounts and at what time of the year. So that's the purpose for rulemaking. Otherwise, you don't see them. They do that behind the scenes. They do, and it's not in the law. You know, that's work that they have to do in order to prepare for per capita, the distribution to the minors, those types of things. But you don't see that behind the scenes because it's not in the law. But somebody still has to value those accounts. Somebody still has to process. Now it's just making those rules public, those operating procedures public, so that the community understands how they're processing that information. So a rule should never supersede a law or the requirements in a law.
Thank you.
Crystal?
I just wanted to clarify that the check and balance that you emphasized as far as rules not being able to exceed the authority of a law, that check and balance is right in the administrative rulemaking law. That's why it's not in each and every rule, because it's back to the law that gives the authority to create the rules.
Right. Nancy?
Well, that seriously to me doesn't make any sense, because on page 4 of the packet, there are recommendations from the Oneida Trust and Enrollment, and never really got to the bottom of what that all means, because I was called out of order because it was an executive session item. But it's come back forward in as a tabled item under tabled business. And so, you know, you're saying that you're creating all of these laws and all of these rules, but then here is an exception to the rule and to the laws. And so, you know, I thought there was this triple firewall that things had to be approved by the trust committee, by the business committee, and also by GTC. So if there are exceptions being made to the rules and the laws as they come forward, then the very people who developed and are supposed to implement and watch over the laws then are able to do exactly these things. The other thing that I find truly interesting is that every time that there is an issue regarding trust and enrollment, nobody's here from the trust committee to answer the questions, including the manager. I don't see her here today and haven't in the past. And so I'm going to respectfully ask that the business committee, I know you already made a motion and all that, but this seems really, there are issues that go over and above the rules and the laws. And so how can you say, you know, the rulemaking and the lawmaking and all of it is transparent and this is going to govern what they do, but then here is an issue where, you know, it looks like something's being done out of the ordinary. I'm not sure what it is because I never could get a straight answer the last time I asked it because Chief Counsel said it was an issue in executive session, but it was clearly spelled out in a half a page what the issue was.
Can you explain what you're referencing on?
I'm referencing page 4
of the agenda
where it says approve recommendations regarding enrollment memorandum dated. And what it looks like here is that money is being taken out of the language revitalization fund to do something. And it never got to that what that something was. When I questioned, was it an issue of enrollment that was deferred or delayed? And then now are you trying to say, okay, the person is enrolled, and are you going to backdate that? Because precedent will be set. There are enrollment applications that sit in the office down there for, you know, a long time. If you don't submit a certified birth certificate, if you don't pay the fee.
Okay, we got to get back to the agenda item.
It is an agenda. It's a per capita issue. It's an enrollment issue, and they're not here.
And they're not the same issue. And the issue that you're referencing is an executive session item, which you're not privy to at this point.
It says tabled item.
It is tabled in executive session.
It just sounds really fishy. It doesn't sound right.
And that's okay, and that's your opinion. And at this point, it is an executive session item, and we're not going to discuss the details of that item, and you know that.
So you're saying that the rulemaking and all of the things that go into place to protect and to make sure that the transparency so that people know what's going on, but yet an issue can come forward and then the Trust and Enrollment Committee and the Business Committee can approve something that goes over and above the rules and the bylaws.
And
the
item is tabled, so it hasn't been acted upon yet.
I don't think we're saying that anyways.
Yeah. Rob?
Just for the record, I'd state that Susan White was unable to attend today. I did talk to her yesterday.
Bonnie's here.
Member Stevens is on the Trust and Enrollment Committee.
Thank you. Kathy?
You stated nothing supersedes the law.
The rules will not supersede
rules
the law.
Rules do not supersede the law. Can I get a copy of where that's specifically stated out of?
The rulemaking authority is an authority that's given by law. It's on the website.
The administrative rulemaking law states that none of the rules can supersede the authority delegated in the law. So whatever authority that the law delegated to create rules is a limitation of the rules. And that is, again, in the administrative rulemaking law, which is available on the register.
Thank you.
What I asked for was I asked for a copy of.
You can obtain that copy at the tribal secretary's office or by going, records management or online.
I'm just curious because a lot of times my experience over the years has been that you say one thing and you do another. And too many times that's the way the laws and policies and procedures and et cetera have been used.
Thank you for your opinion. So the motion on the floor is by Lisa, seconded by David, to approve per capita rule number 1, distribution rule certification. All those in favor of approving that rule, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under that same one is the hunting, fishing, and trapping rule handbook certification.
Let's see, I'm trying to find it. All right. Okay.
Trying to find it.
This one's tough to find.
Page 79. Page 79.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Madam Chair.
All right.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to adopt the rule titled Certification of Hunting, Fishing, and Trapping Law Rule Handbook.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny to adopt the Hunting, Fishing, and Trapping Rule Handbook certification. Questions or comments on that one? If none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is the BC or the Finance
Thank
Committee
you.
Meeting minutes of May 16th.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny to approve the May 16th Finance Committee meeting minutes. Questions or comments on the Finance Committee meeting minutes? If none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Lisa abstains. Motion carries. Next is the April 20th, 2017 Quality of Life meeting minutes.
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Lisa to accept the April 20th, 2017 Quality of Life meeting minutes. Comments or questions on the minutes?
158.
All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under new business, we have the approval of three requests regarding doctoral dissertations from Jennifer Jordan.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to accept the presentation as information and to forward the presentation and contact information to Dr. Veer and Debbie, and then to grant permission for Dr. Jordan to publish the results of the study.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the presentation as information and forward the presentation and contact information to Dr. Veer and Debbie and to grant Dr. Jordan permission to publish the results of the study. Any other comments and questions?
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
I am going to withdraw my motion at this time, noting that
this item actually
has a scheduled time at 10 o'clock a.m. for the presentation.
Okay.
So we'll need to go back to this.
The dissertation.
So there's an item on the agenda, Kathy, for new business A, and it's a presentation on a dissertation and a study that was done by one of our tribal members, Dr. Jordan.
All right. The next item then will be the approval of the Baccarat Rules of Play.
So move.
Motion by Fawn, seconded by David. I'm going as fast as I've always have. So, questions or comments on the Baccarat? Rules of play. It's a game at the casino. I can't even explain it. Anybody explain what Baccarat is?
I can't imagine even playing it.
No.
I can't see it.
No.
Baccarat.
Baccarat.
An easy Baccarat. They must have made it easy. All right. Comments or questions on the rules of play? If not, all those in favor of the motion to approve the Baccarat rules of play, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I'm going to make a follow-up motion to this one.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for these to be brought back in a year or to be reviewed and brought back in a year as an update because we are going to be the first casino in the state to do this. I just want to get it on a tickler somewhere or ask the Gaming Commission if we can communicate with the Gaming Commission to have this reviewed within a one-year period.
Is there support?
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to request the Gaming Commission to review the rules of play and for this to be brought back in 1 year. Well, for the Gaming Commission to review it in a year. Mm-hmm. And it have brought back to the Business Committee. All right. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is the approval of a limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs for data sharing agreement contract number 2017-0464.
Madam Chair, move to approve.
Can you be specific? I think you have to be specific for these ones.
Approve the limited waiver of sovereign immunity for Wisconsin
Department of Veteran Affairs Access and Data Sharing Agreement, contract number 2017-0464.
Support. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa, to approve the limited waiver of sovereign immunity for the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs Access and Data Sharing Agreement, contract 2017-0464. And just to note that the agreement will help the Veterans Department be able to verify veteran service in determining eligibility for veterans for federal and state benefits. So all those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request for a status update regarding community concern 2016 CC21 regarding the Junehiqua operations. And I did a little research on this item very briefly, and going back to concern 2016 CC21, the business committee took action in January of this year to host a special work meeting on this item. It's my understanding that that work meeting was held and that business committee members, including yourself, Nancy, did participate in that meeting. So I'm not understanding why this item is back on the agenda for discussion. So if you could help me understand that, that would be great.
Okay. I didn't bring the budget today, but I do know that Junehiqua's budget is $500,000. And where my concern is that we're buying corn from out east, from the Senecas. And so in the past, I have filed complaints and followed the process that has been set out in order for an issue to be brought forward. And only in one case did I receive a response regarding the three complaints that I officially filed with the business committee. So I changed the name of it to a concern, hoping that maybe with that it wouldn't be a big secret and you couldn't discuss it and all these things couldn't happen because it becomes a personnel issue. I attended that special BC work meeting, and individuals were allowed to go on and to go off. But when I was given a brief moment to express the issues that I had with Junehiqua, I was cut off. People were kicked out of the meeting, including myself, and no one ever got back to me regarding all of my issues, including, Junehiqua falling, I believe, completely apart. So I have a response from Joni Buckley. It's pretty extensive, what she wanted to talk about, and I see that she's not here today, and how unfortunate, because when your name is on this agenda, it seems like you should come forward so that you could answer the issues at hand. And so what I'm looking at and seeing is that our Junehiqua has fallen apart. And I'm looking for the answers of, in this response, it says here on page 2 of Joni Buckley's response, it says, "I will respect the decision of the business committee in evaluating the best alignment of the organic farm and cannery for the nation. Whether it is under the big, large farm or not, I have always been a proponent over the last 5 years of agriculture being grouped together. I'm aware that there are a limited number of staff there. It's my understanding that there are only 2 staff members there. My concern is that it's planting season. It's pretty wet right now, but we should be planting in the next couple of weeks. And are we going to allow our corn to be planted another year and allow it to go moldy and to go to waste and then go out east and buy our corn again? I guess I'm looking for, what is the overall plan for Junehiqua? Obviously, it's not been managed right, or by now, anyone who knows anything about growing and farming, and especially our white corn, we should have many years and a large supply stockpiled of our corn. And there is none. The information that was given in past quarterly reports is that The yield from last year was 6 braids of seed corn. And I wanted to go to OPD and say, seize that seed corn and put it under protective custody so that something doesn't happen to it and it doesn't go moldy, because what are we going to plant? There are a number of individuals here who have taken it upon themselves. It's not that the community and people didn't care about June Hakwa. We just assumed that with the amount of money that's being spent and the people that are hired to take care of it, that they would take care of it. I don't have Facebook and I don't have social media, but an individual came to my home and showed me a video of June Hakwa. There are trees growing up in the greenhouses. There's little or nothing going on there. We have a broken fence. We have a wild bull that is a liability. There are many, many issues that are going on there, and here we are. This was filed in February, and it's the end of May, and no documentation has been brought forward other than, you know, everybody wants to build a healthy mindset for, you know, healthy foods. We get it. This is a 30-year initiative that started with Iroquois Farms on Seminary Road. I was a part of that. We believe that, you know, it was right. It was the good thing to do for this community, but it all fell apart. And I'm not sure, you know, I got a pretty good idea of what happened. We turned it into a program. It became a entity where individuals who were working there and managing there don't have the proper skills and education to farm. You have to be a farmer in order to farm. And so today what I'm looking for is, what is the plan in the future, and for the business committee to take action so that we're not wasting another $500,000 this year on running that place, and then at the end of the day we have nothing to show for it. We're going out to the Senecas and buying our corn.
Lisa? I just wanted to touch on a couple things. So I understand what your concerns are, Nancy. This is exactly why we sent it to a special work meeting. You are correct. People were excused from that work meeting. Once we got to the point where the business committee wanted to talk with our direct report about personnel-related issues. So we did excuse people. So I want to make sure that that's clear for everybody here. We didn't just arbitrarily kick people out of the meeting. It was for a very specific reason that we felt we needed to go into closed session, because they were personnel-related issues associated with the challenges that are happening at June Hakwa that you've identified. We did go over that, and I'm not sure. I know that you're working with the chair's office. I'm not sure why you haven't received responses back.
I'm not working with the chair's office.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where it's coming from. That's where the request is coming from.
Well, I put my request for a signature.
I'm not sure why you're not getting the responses back, based on who you're working with. But we can definitely, I can summarize it for you and get you like an executive summary of what took place and what we did. But we've already gone through this. We have met with our direct report. We have provided direction. We validated the strategies. And we're continuing to work with them. And as you know, they did lose one of their employees recently over there. So that did provide us a little bit of a setback with some of the things that we were asking to be done. So we are managing and trying to support the direct report in order to get all of those things back in order to get us back on track with what we had approved back early and late this winter, early this spring. So we are addressing all of those things. And you were there at the meeting. You knew that we were talking about it, and you knew that we were providing direction. So I'm okay with accepting this request as information. That'll be my motion.
Is there support on that motion before we go back into discussion?
Support.
Sorry. Seconded by Jenny to accept this request as information. Go ahead, Nancy.
There is more than just the issue of one individual passing away. There were two other individuals who retired. One, I can't say because it will be called out of order.
It will be.
So that is a total of 4 employees. Nowhere have I seen those positions being posted. You know, you don't post them May 31st when it's time to plant. So there is a personnel issue over there with only 2 individuals. there's a lot of issues going on. And are you going to allow that corn to be planted there another year and allow it to go moldy or not to be tended to? Why would you spend all of that money, pay all of those people, use all the machinery, and at the end of the day, the corn has gone moldy? Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. My recommendation, had I been given time to do it, would have been that somebody needs to be managing that farm who knows what they're doing. Fences are down. There's a liability. If you look at the petition for the food pantry, it goes hand in hand. It was a way to hold Junehequa accountable because there was a list of things that they are supposed to have that's supposed to be going to the food pantry. And it's been nothing but a fight ever since. There are no, you know, I understand that there are chickens over there, but none of those eggs are going to the food pantry. Another individual who does it himself is donating eggs to the food pantry. So it's not only just one thing, it's a combination of everything. And are you going to allow this to go on one more year? And if you are, at the end of the day, what have we got to show for it? This report shows that the yield of corn over the past 5 and 7 years has gone down, yet the budget has gone up. It doesn't make sense. You know, had I been given the opportunity to participate in what the plan was, you know, I'm not seeing it, you know, as far as getting the information from the chair's office. All I did was ask for a signature so that I could have it brought back on the agenda because it was supposed to be on the agenda in April, and then it wasn't. It was deferred, and then it wasn't on the May 10th agenda, so that's why it's on this agenda. And so I waited for it. Last week I wasn't here, but I did get a copy of the packet and didn't see it on there. That's why I brought it forward. It's not going to get lost in Never Never Land. And so I'm looking for what is the plan. If you're going to continue to allow people who don't know what they're doing to continue to spend $500,000 and we have nothing to show for it, how is that okay?
I don't think, you know, that's really unfortunate that you're going to stand there and say that we don't have nothing to show for the money that comes out because there is production over there at Junehequa. And you go over there and you tell those workers that they don't, that they are not producing. Excuse me, Nancy, I am talking now. You're going to go over there and tell those workers that they're not producing anything for that money that's there. They just lost their director. We provided them direction after the meeting that you had occurred, you had had with the committee. There was direction that was provided in order to make the correction so that there wouldn't be, so we were addressing your concerns with Junehequa. Not just your concerns, there has been concerns about Junehequa for the past couple of years, okay? There needs to be, there was direction that was given by the committee to the direct report about what to do and where to go. In the meantime, we lost our director, our person who is supposed to be implementing the strategy that we laid out. That person is gone now, and you have two employees over there working their butts off to make sure that the planting season happens. And you have community members, and I acknowledge the community members. I see Frank over there. I see Mr. Franco over there. I've seen, you know, a lot of people over there trying to help and figure out how to engage and help out Junehequa because they too are concerned about the empty greenhouses and all that, you know, coming into play. We understand that it is a concern. We are working with our direct report to try to get the right type of personnel and the necessary personnel over there to help Junehequa at this point. And yes, we do have rules. We have HR rules. We can't just go and say, pick you and you come on over.
I'm not asking that.
Yeah, I know you're not asking that, Nancy, but it is a process. And, you know, to give them time right now, they are just now getting back on their feet from the loss of Jeff Metoxin. And so now we have to find somebody who's going to be able to implement that long-term strategy again. Right now, the workers are holding it together as much as possible to maintain that farm.
If you, you know, truly look at the budget and the revenue that's coming in regarding the corn and the greenhouse and the cannery and all of it, if you look at those numbers, it's pitiful, you know, what's coming in. So to say, you know, that nothing is coming in, there is money coming in. It's like $2,700. But what the original intent and purpose of it was, and 30 years later, what we have now, to me, it all fell apart. And so I guess we'll wait one more year. for harvest time to see what happens and then let GTC decide what needs to happen with June Hakel because I followed the process.
Kathy?
Thank you. Since we're talking about a mindset, positive mindset, healthy mindset, and I've been coming up here for many, many years thinking I had a positive mindset, you know, and it's hard to find a good, healthy mindset.
Do you have a question, Kathy?
Yes, I do.
Okay, ask your question, please.
Okay, please don't get angry with me.
I'm not getting angry. I'm just trying to keep the
meeting on track.
It looks
that way. It appears that way.
Thank you.
But anyway, what I heard in this discussion is that Joni Buckley wrote a lengthy letter and that she's honoring, she'd be more than happy or whatever to honor your decision. So your decision is important to me because we've only had a 10-acre corn crop for I don't know how many years. You know, and it was that the business committee directive or decision that chose to only do a 10-acre cornfield, white corn, or, you know, and that, this came up in another meeting, and the chairman of the tribe also had the same question, is why is there only 10 acres, you know, and then we have to go out east and purchase, like Nancy's been bringing up, and that's why I'm looking at the healthy mindset. You know, where is this all coming from? Is it real, or is it just what is that called? I've heard it on this floor many times lately. I'm sorry, forgive me for being forgetful right now, but there's so much stuff on this plate here, and I got, like, I've been having since 8:30 this morning to read it all. So that's my question, is where did that absolute, disrespect, but I'm thinking that about Jeff Metoxin. But anyway, where did that decision come from when our heritage, our white corn, has been planted for like 40 years maybe? And why just 10 acres? And where did that decision come from? Is that the healthy mindset that you guys put out there for our white corn? That's my question.
I don't have that answer for you. It would have to come from the originating documents for June Hakel, and that would require some research. So, Mike.
Thank you. Just to let you guys know, because I'm unsure if you guys were aware, there are several individuals within the tribe, including another board committee or commission, that's actually taking it upon themselves to start growing some corn. They're using quarter and half acre plots. And the yields that they're producing are nothing short of spectacular. So in my mind, that starts raising some serious questions as to what's really going on. That's firstly, just for you guys' knowledge, because I wasn't for sure if you guys were even aware that that's transpiring. Secondly, I think a lot of this seems to boil down to what's going on at the director level. I think you guys need to seriously take a look at what's happening at that upper level because there seems to be a huge disconnect between what's going on up here and what's actually transpiring and happening down here.
Thank you.
Let's see.
The motion's on the floor by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the request for a status update regarding community concern 2016 CC21. On the June Aqua operations as information. Any other comments or questions? Frank?
Recently there was an aquaponics system put in by the VFW. Mm-hmm. I was wondering who was in charge of that. It's my understanding that is Joni Buckley.
Yes.
I'm not very happy with that whole setup. She said it came in a kit. My concern is that the food that's grown in there now is supposed to go to our schools, correct?
Yes.
It's all grown in plastic and styrofoam. Does anybody else see a problem with that? I mean, that's what we want to feed our kids.
Thank you for providing that information. It's a step in the right direction. I agree that the unit that they purchased probably isn't the highest end standard that we'd like, but it is definitely a step in the right direction considering that we're feeding them right now processed food
from the USDA or from whatever's provided from the government at this point, which is absolutely not healthy for them. Right. So it's greens, it's leafy greens that's being provided. It's not the entire menu. Yeah. So it's just one piece of what's going to be happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not good enough. I mean, if we're going to try and make a step in the right direction, why go halfway and just, you know, yeah, it's not processed, but it's still not the best we can do, I feel.
It's not just what Lisa had said. It's a startup. It was to get us going. It was a demonstration project. Can we do this was the question at first. And the answer is yes. And now, you know, with your concerns with regards to how it's being grown or in what it's being grown, now becomes a concern that we can relay to Joni to you know, advance it. Now that we know that we can do it and that we're providing the foods to the schools as intended, now we have to figure out how to make it better, how to expand it possibly, and to make sure that it's sustainable. So that's like the next step. But the question we just got answered in this last year was, can we do it? And the answer is yes, we can. So I appreciate your comments, and we'll share those with Joni and let her know. Thank you. Nancy?
Just for the record, you know, this is not a new issue. I've been bringing up these issues with June Haqua for, you know, the past 3 years. Every time their quarterly report came up here and we looked at it, we knew something was wrong and brought all these issues over and over again. And you can listen to the audio, and I have them all. And so it took one more year for it to all, you know, our corn went to mold or we didn't have any. And so, you know, to treat it like it's a brand new issue and I haven't been tracking it is absolutely false. The other issue, I haven't gone into the aquaponics, but, you know, there's an issue with styrofoam. You know, some tribes have banned it, some schools have banned it, and yet our greens are growing on styrofoam. So today, hopefully, on my way home, I'm going to be able to stop there, you know, and the issue that was brought up is there's going to be 600 heads of lettuce. You know, I don't know if that's all at one time or over one whole year, but school's almost ready to dismiss. And what are you going to do with 600 heads of lettuce? There's supposed to be an issue with fish that in a cycle, you know, as far as I'm concerned, none of my kids liked fish, especially tilapia, and so that's another issue that needs to be looked at. I know that at the aquaponics at June Haqua that there were perch or trout in those aquaponics, and you know, make it so that it's a fish that people are going to eat, and what is the waste factor once again?
Well, as you can see, the operations director isn't here. It's the expectation that if you're the sponsor of the item, that you're inviting the necessary and appropriate people here to have this discussion. No, Tina does. She's the sponsor. Well, if I'm the sponsor,
let her know she's on the agenda.
The sponsor is responsible for that. We're not going to have this discussion. Daniel, it's your turn. Daniel's turn, Nancy. We're not going to have this debate. I just told you the sponsor is responsible for it. The sponsor is responsible for making sure that the people here are having the appropriate discussion. So go ahead, Daniel.
I'm just wondering, is there a plan of action that we can look at, review, take home on paper or look on the website or something?
After today, the business committee has on our executive session the forward progress for the June Haqua operations. The reason why it's an executive session is because it deals with personnel issues. Once the personnel issues are subtracted from the overall strategy, you're more than welcome to obtain a copy of that plan from records management.
Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion on the floor to accept the request for a status update regarding community concern 2016 CC21 on June Haqua operations, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is the community concern 2017 CC08 from Brad Graham regarding the tribal telephone company. Brad, go ahead.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have an issue with what's going on here. The phone system is not properly identifying the callers. Because being on the Personnel Commission, Everybody from Geraldine's department, I have their numbers in my phone. So when I get a call from them, I know who it is, what department. Same with employee services. Now, all calls that come from this building come up Health Center. Health Center has issues, too. I just found out from doing interviews this morning that for 2+ years, calls coming in there are identified from Norbert Hill. Conservation also is identified from Norbert Hill. There's other departments here that are having issues, too. Now, I brought this complaint last year. There's a letter in here that this was supposed to have been taken care of. I have a list here from May 2nd is when this started. Now, when I'm doing interviews, my phone is off. When I get a message, I got to play the name game and start calling everybody to see who called. That's not fun, going through all these departments. It was supposed to have been taken care of. So here we are again. And it's not just me. All departments are having issues with this. Something needs to be done. Now, some of my calls finally have been coming from HRD, identifiable again who it is, but not all of them. Now, when Gina or Bridget are calling me, it's coming up Employee Services Building. That's not right. Like I say, this needs to be straightened out. I need to know who's calling me because my schedule's busy. So I'm asking that this be taken care of immediately if it can be.
Lisa?
Madam Chair, I'm going to make a motion to accept the community concern 2017CC-08. And since the chairwoman brought this forward, I'm going to ask that she also complete the follow-up regarding this issue.
Is there support?
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the community concern 2017CC-08 and request the chair's office to follow up on this concern. Mike?
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
I would hope you guys can do a follow-up motion that would include MIS as well, because the reason why I state that is back on May 10th I was in here, and the head of MIS was in here telling us how great when they did that phone shutdown to whatever it was they did with the phone system to collaborate and communicate and bring that all together as one system, we were told that everything was operational and everything was working beautifully. I've made calls to certain areas and they've answered the phone and called me by another name because they said my name wasn't coming up. So that raises some issues. So when I stood in here and listened to MIS or whoever it was that was responsible for doing all of this, saying how great it was working, and now we're hearing everything to the contrary, I think MIS or whoever is responsible for that needs to be brought to the table as well.
And that's what the chairwoman can do. She can request MIS to come to the table. She's the one who's going to be following up on it.
Yeah, because that was MIS customer service. This letter was Wednesday, April 19th. And it was Saturday, April 22nd, when they reprogrammed.
All right. Thanks for letting us know.
Ever since then, the phones have been goofed up. And like I said, the one that was with the interviews this morning said for 2+ years she's worked at the health center. It's always coming up here. And like I say, I have a lot of concerns from a lot of the people I've been working with.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Well, the chairwoman's office will follow up on this issue.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Next,
we need to vote.
Oh, so the motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the community concern 2017-CC-08 and direct the concern back to the chair's office for follow-up. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next is under travel reports, the acceptance of a travel report for Secretary Summers, DeHasse, Jennifer Webster, regarding the OTI orientation in Milwaukee, April 20th and 21st.
Motion approved.
Support.
Motion by Fawn, seconded by David, to accept the travel report. Questions or comments? If none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Right. Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Lisa and Jenny abstain. Motion carries. Next, under travel requests, is the entering of e-poll results into the record. Letter A is the approved travel request for Councilman DeJose Hill to administer testimony for the American Indian Alaskan Native public witness hearing in Washington, D.C., May 15th through the 17th.
Motion to enter the record.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny.
Sure.
To enter the e-poll results into the record for the approved travel request for DeJose. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second e-poll results entered into the record would be an approved travel request for the chairwoman to attend the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative Travel Forum in Ashland, May 23rd and 24th.
So moved.
Support. Second. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to enter the e-poll results into the record for the travel request for the chairwoman. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under General Tribal Council is the petitioner Cheryl Benton's request to change pre-employment drug testing for marijuana.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, Lisa.
I'll make a motion to accept the fiscal impact for the Cheryl Benton petition regarding drug testing.
Second. So motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the financial or the fiscal analysis regarding the Cheryl Benton petition on the pre-employment drug testing. Nancy?
Is this ready to go to GTC? Have all the requirements been met, legal, financial?
That's my next question.
Lisa. After today, yes.
Then why aren't you scheduling a meeting?
That'll be the next motion for me to come back with a date.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny, to accept the fiscal impact for the Cheryl Benton request to change pre-employment drug testing for marijuana. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion for the Secretary to come back with a proposed General Tribal Council date for this item. And then I will include in that motion for the Secretary to follow up with the petitioner to see if there's an alternative way for the issue to be resolved.
Is there support?
Support.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to request the Secretary to bring back proposed General Tribal Council meeting dates at the next meeting.
Yes.
At the next BC meeting, and for the Secretary's office to follow up with the petitioner to see if there are any alternatives to the petition going to GTC. Nancy?
I guess I'm going to ask the question of why are you waiting till the next BC meeting when everything is ready to go? And also, when I submitted a GTC petition, nobody wanted to meet with me ahead of time to see if there were anything that you could do to keep it from going to a $250,000 meeting, even though it was piggybacked on Frank Cornelius' 7-gen. So is there some kind of a policy or something that you have in writing where you meet with people ahead of time? Because I know that Ed Delgado withdrew his petition. Somebody must have met with him. So is there a policy or is there something in your office that you meet with people ahead of time? Because nobody met with me.
Both petitioners indicated at the beginning that they were willing to, once the information was obtained, to sit with the business committee to entertain some alternative rather than going to GTC. Oh. So both of them indicated right up front that they were willing to do that. So that's one of the reasons why it's that way. So if Cheryl says no, if Ed said no, we want to go to GTC, then so be it.
In the GTC meetings law, there's a process for petitions. And so once if we adopt the GTC meetings law, there's a process provided on how and what the business committee's process is and when reaching out to the petitioner, going through the process and establishing a meeting date, as well as working through the process of coming forward with the remedy to the petitioner's wishes in the petition. And so it gives us the process to tell us that it's a standardized thing that we have to do with every single person. And so that's a question that is answered in the GTC meetings law once we package it up and send it to General Tribal Council for their final review after 2 years of looking at it.
Kathy?
I have to disagree. For the last 25, 30 years, I've been doing a lot of petitions. And out of all of those petitions I've done over the years, only once was this committee willing to meet with me. It always, and I say it again, I always got to say it, it depends on who you are and who you know.
And that's untrue. We've been trying to contact you on several occasions, and you have not responded on several
occasions.
That's
not true.
To the business committee as well, Kathy. So, you know, I've worked here a long time, too, and I've seen the responses.
I know you have, and that's not true.
Yes, it is true.
Oh, it is not.
Oh, okay,
I don't want to argue with you back and forth.
Yeah, thank you.
I know my experience.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, point of order.
Thank you. Bonnie?
Just for clarification, Brandon, you mentioned that the GTC meetings law, that I don't believe that is an adopted law yet.
Correct.
I think it's only in the stages of being going before a public meeting, maybe. So I don't think quoting public law or GTC meetings law information is relevant to the body that's sitting here until that's actually a law.
Yeah, it's not relevant at this point, but I think what Brandon is saying is that there's a process that everybody's asking for to go forward.
They're asking for it, but if it does or doesn't pass, then I don't think it's relevant to what's being discussed today. But I understand why you're bringing it forward.
Mike?
Thank you. One quick follow-up question to that. Is there a plan B if that does come to, say you guys present it and it comes to GTC and GTC says no way?
For Cheryl's petition?
On the GTC meetings law. Oh. If GTC says nope.
No.
Is there like a plan B?
Well, I think the plan B is that the Secretary's office continues to utilize their standard operating procedures that they have. And it's agreeable that, you know, that everybody's saying that it needs to be improved and that General Tribal Council needs to have input on that process. And we've been using this process. Everybody's not satisfied with it in some way, shape, or form. It's obvious that way. So it would be nice for us to go to the GTC meetings law and say, this is what the approved process is by General Tribal Council, so that there is no argument about who you know and, you know, you're playing favorites or whatever. So that there is a set process that we're utilizing that's approved by GTC. That's the goal.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So the motion on the floor is by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to request the Secretary bring back proposed GTC meeting dates and that the Secretary to follow up with the petitioner to see if there's any alternatives prior to going to GTC. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. A motion to go into executive session
No.
Oh, 10 o'clock. We have 10. Sorry. 10 o'clock, Jennifer Jordan, dissertation, and then we'll be going into executive session because we did not finish yesterday. So if you want to come forward, Jennifer.
Dr. Jennifer.
What item number is that?
New business A. It's on page 2 of 7 of your agenda.
Page 160.
So the last time that Jennifer was here was on November 12, 2014, and at that time she presented a study proposal to you requesting that she be allowed to work with Comprehensive Health as she was working on her PhD in public health through Walden University. Since that time, Jennifer graduated with her PhD on February 20th of 2017. So I'm pleased to announce that she's here as Dr. Jordan. We're very proud of what Jennifer has accomplished, both in terms of pursuing her higher education and also on focusing on improving healthcare delivery services within the nation. Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly. Congratulations, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Very well accomplished and time-consuming, I'm sure. So if you want to go ahead and present the information, we have the PowerPoint inside of our packets.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. The title of my dissertation research is Communicating Periodontal Disease Risk to American Indian Patients with Diabetes.
The background for this study came from speaking with a dentist about problems this person saw within the dental clinic. From that, I went on to review the current literature, which solidified justification to conduct the study. When I started this research, there were two unknowns, and the first being if healthcare providers were discussing periodontal risk with their American Indian patients with type 2 diabetes, and if healthcare providers were prioritizing complications associated with diabetes. So once the problem statement was established, I then went on to conduct a literature review utilizing peer-reviewed references. Once that literature review was completed, out of the information that I got from that review, I developed six research questions, and they're as follows. The first is, how much do healthcare providers know about periodontal disease and its relationship to diabetes, and how do they obtain and then maintain that knowledge? Second, how and by whom are conversations on the topic of periodontal disease and its relationship to diabetes initiated when patients with diabetes are seen at clinic visits? Are conversations about periodontal disease and diabetes initiated by healthcare providers or by the patient? Three, how does the patient's level of health literacy play a role in conversations between healthcare providers and patients? Four, what modalities are healthcare providers using to communicate information about the risks of periodontal disease? Five, how does the amount of time allotted for a patient's healthcare visit affect a healthcare provider's ability to have a conversation with the patient about diabetes and periodontal disease? And lastly, what importance do healthcare providers place on periodontal disease as compared to other diabetes-related conditions in regards to severity of risk to the patient with diabetes? Once those were established, I went on to figure out what theoretical framework would work for this model, and I chose the model of communication competence, as this model composes three separate components in which people who communicate health-related information should have, that being knowledge, skill, and motivation. The methodology that I used to conduct this study was a descriptive phenomenological approach. I utilized semi-structured interviews from a pre-established data collection instrument, and then I also developed some interview questions myself. All the interview questions were asked in person by me. Target population for this study was the healthcare providers at an American Indian community clinic based on a reservation in northeastern Wisconsin. The participants for the study included eight healthcare providers who volunteered for this study. Three of them came from the medical side, and five of them came from dental. All of these providers were current clinic employees, and they were employed by the clinic for 1 year. So once the volunteers came forward, then the data collection actually began. First of all, I had to conduct an expert panel review of other healthcare providers separate from the study, who reviewed the interview questions for content and clarity. I also contacted clinical management and was granted permission to conduct the study. Healthcare providers who were interested in participating contacted me by phone or email or passing at the facility. And I did have to send a second recruitment letter as saturation was not reached during the first time of recruitment. Provider interviews took place either at the provider's dental or clinical office setting or at a local restaurant. And interviews averaged lasted for between 30 and 45 minutes. So once I collected all this data, I had to analyze it. And the analysis of the interviews and coding of the different themes was conducted by me utilizing the Kaliazi strategy and an in vivo qualitative software package. So the data analysis actually resulted in six different key themes and findings. The first one being knowledge, how healthcare providers at the facility were knowledgeable about the link between diabetes and periodontal disease risk and were able to describe how they learned about the link. Two, patient engagement. Healthcare providers expressed that they were unable to engage patients in the subject of periodontal disease risk due to the lack of time spent with the patient. Three, periodontal disease risk communication. It's specific to patient-provider communication with their patients about the risk. Four, communication of information. each healthcare provider shared a different perspective as to who at the clinic should be having conversations with patients. And lastly, 5, patient level factors. This relates to how healthcare providers felt about their patients' health literacy level and how this affected the conversations between the patient and the provider. So next we had to interpret the findings, and what this involves is looking at what was learned from my study to see if similarities existed in the literature that I reviewed. So in regards to the area of provider knowledge, the providers at this facility gained their knowledge about periodontal disease risk and diabetes through higher education, on-the-job training, reading scholarly journals, utilizing web resources, and having conversations with other providers at the facility. Healthcare providers in their field more than 10 years learned about the link while on the job, and healthcare provider lack of concern about the topic contributed to no discussion of the topic, and these findings were similar to what was found in the literature. Providers who were in their field 10 years or less learned about the link between diabetes and periodontal disease while in school, and this finding is new and was not found in the literature. In the area of patient engagement, the amount of time allotted to spend with a patient was a practice limitation. Patient education was limited due to time allotment, patient education conducted by others in the facility, and patients not being responsible for their own health care, self-care actually, and presenting for appointments was another factor. And these findings were similar to what was found in the literature. 3, periodontal risk communication. Medical providers were discussing medical issues with patients, and I also found dental providers were discussing both dental and medical issues with patients. And these findings were similar to what was found in the literature. 4, communication of information. Providers at the facility were able and are knowledgeable about periodontal disease, diabetes link. So with that, this may suggest that since these providers are all housed in one facility, that the link is well known. And then providers also relied on other healthcare providers in the facility to educate patients. And these findings were similar to what was found in the literature. And then lastly, the patient level factors. A patient's health literacy can be linked to several influential factors, including patient and provider relationship, the level of access to and utilization of healthcare services, the health literacy level of the patient, and a patient's concept of self-care. And these findings were also similar to what was found in the literature. Now, with every study that's conducted, there are also limitations to the study. And with my study, there were 4 limitations total, with the first one being researcher-perceived expectations. So this limitation relies upon myself, and it relied upon myself so that I would ask the interview questions of all the participants uniformly. I created an interview guide, which I followed, and I also maintained neutrality while interviewing each and every volunteer. 2, healthcare provider bias. I tried to limit that by letting each and every one of the participants know that there would be no identifying factors once I wrote up all the study results and discussed the study results. And then providers were also asked and reminded to please answer honestly. 3, I'm an enrolled member and an employee of the tribe. This study was conducted in part wholly by myself as a student, and all interviews are kept confidential, and there was no impact between any departments. 4, not achieving a goal of 10 to 12 interviews. My goal was to have 10 to 12 interviews total, but I was only successful in achieving 8. So this may have limited the study results, as there may have been providers out there who might have had more to tell me, but weren't able to discuss it with me at that time. So with that, there are some study recommendations that I have, with the first being to expand upon the scope of the study to include interviewing other staff at the facility, such as the dental assistants, community health nurses, dietitians, podiatry, and optical staff. 2, to secure the point of the American Indian patients with type 2 diabetes in regard to health literacy level, how knowledgeable they feel their provider is about diabetes and periodontal disease, the amount of time the provider spends with the patient, how well the patient perceives the provider's communication efforts, how the patient would like the health information to be delivered, by whom and when. And lastly, to review how all the healthcare providers in the clinic learn about the link between diabetes and periodontal disease risk and determine if additional training and education is needed. In conclusion, the American Indian Community Clinic in this study was unique as multiple aspects of healthcare, including medical, dental, optical pharmacy, community health, etc., are under one roof. There are multiple opportunities for collaboration between specialties to increase the quality of life of the patient and to decrease the disparity of diabetes and periodontal disease risk within the American Indian community. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Questions for Jennifer on her presentation? Lisa?
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great work. I did have one question. You had mentioned in as you were going through, one of the factors was the time restriction that the provider had with the patient. Is that due to the short amount of time that's scheduled, or is that something that's just not built into the?
It's a scheduling.
It's a scheduling thing for mm-hmm. us. Did you find that in other clinics as well, or other when you were going through the literature review, that's similar?
That is a similar okay. aspect.
So if we have a 15-minute appointment, there's not any time for them to do any kind of the education pieces with the patients.
And it all depends on the type of appointment, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did any of the modalities that you had mentioned, did it include income levels?
No.
Because I know that has a direct bearing and impact as to what kind of treatment they receive, their direct access to that treatment, as well as the outcome from that treatment.
Income level is more of a demographic level. Modalities would include, like, getting a message through the cell phone, through text messaging, pamphlets, brochures. That's what modalities are.
Right, and I understand that, but again, dealing with those text messages and all those other things, it falls in line with income levels because we see that disparity right here mm-hmm. on the reservation where a lot of these people have access to our health center, but they don't necessarily have the technology and the means. And a lot of that is based on that income level. Additionally, we see some issues with the scheduling itself of having access where individuals may have to wait 4 to 6 months. So I'm wondering if any of that was correlative in this study.
No, I did not review any of that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair.
Lisa?
I'll make a motion to accept the presentation as information, forward the presentation and contact information to Dr. Veer and Deborah Danforth, and then also grant Dr. Jordan permission to publish the results of the study.
Support.
Second.
So motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to accept the presentation as information and forward the presentation and contact information to Dr. Veer and Debbie Danforth at the Health Center and to grant Dr. Jordan, does that sound weird, permission to publish the results of the study. Any other comments or questions? Brandon?
Yeah, I guess this kind of like begs us as a tribe to look at like a research R&D area of the tribe to look at quality control as well as efficiencies within the tribe and how to gauge how we can provide better services to our tribal members. And like this is a direct reflection on how that can be done and how complicated it can be. But with the right training and education, there's the methodologies, you know, those are all things a part of how the scientific research is conducted in that, you know, I've done some of it, but it's a lot, and it's a lot to have a director that's operating an area as well as managing individuals to do these types of quality control type methods. And so I think this is something that we need to look at is the R&D stuff. I mean, Grandpa always talked about an R&D department and developing certain aspects of the tribe further. So I just wanted to comment and thank you and congratulations again.
Got a question, Kathy, for Jennifer?
No, I don't have a question, but I just have a comment.
Okay.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. For you to be here today. I don't know how the process goes for you to be here, if you're privy to inside information or not, but it's awesome and wonderful.
Kathy, you know what?
And
please
I'm just
stop.
Please.
Stop what? I'm complimenting her. I'm complimenting her. Is
that
okay?
That she has
maybe you have a different way of complimenting, and I have a different way of complimenting,
okay? Continue, please. Continue.
I didn't mean to offend you in any way. Did I offend you? That was not my intent.
I don't have any insider information. I only came here to present my study to the business committee as a requirement of my school.
Were you offended?
Yes, a little bit.
Well, I apologize for that.
Thank you.
My intent was not to offend you, but what I was trying to get to is this is wonderful. This is awesome. It should be afforded to everyone. Everybody who wants to do research on anything should be afforded the same opportunity.
Correct.
And it's wonderful that you're here today.
Thank you.
And you must have did an awesome job, and I said congratulations.
Thank you.
And again, I'm willing to apologize. That's something you don't come across a lot, but I'm willing to apologize to you directly and publicly. And I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
But what a wonderful job.
Thank you. Spread
the word.
Yes.
You know, because there's a lot of our Oneida people that are going to school. And I'm not up here to argue with anybody.
Tribal members have the opportunity to come forward and ask to do studies, and they have on plenty of occasions, especially in their doctorate programs. And they have been approved upon review of their study, just as Jennifer had. So that they're not disclosing information, privy information about any kind of subject across the board for their dissertation. So, and we want to review their published material before it goes out. So that's why she's here to obtain that permission. And nothing in the presentation is indicating that it was done here, or nothing in the information is disclosing information, particularly about a certain person or tribal member. So, good. Anthony?
Congratulations on your work and your study. I followed you throughout your whole presentation. It was pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I have a question, though, on the when something's accepted as information. In part of her presentation, she was discussing cross-functionalized information between departments and the different, I want to call them vendors or...
Providers.
Providers.
Mm-hmm.
That how they know about the disease and where they get their information from and how informed are they. Though it's accepted as information, is there a way in the future that to make it more demanding that they do come together, cross-functionalize and obtain the information so they're well knowledgeable about, you know, the disease and how to handle it and who to go to for more information, or even just to take care of it on a more expert plane?
We're accepting it as information at the business committee level, but we're also forwarding it to Debbie and Dr. Veer. But Jennifer, it's my understanding you already gave that presentation to Debbie and Dr. Veer. So Debbie and Dr. Veer will now take the information that Jennifer did in her study, and they'll apply it to the area. However, you know, you've seen that there was some limitations to her research and study. So those have to be taken in consideration about what's actually applicable in our clinic. So the comprehensive health directors will take that information and apply some of the changes there within the dental area. That could be extending an appointment by 10 minutes, requiring dentists to provide information, possibly training. I'm not sure what they're seeing over there, but that's why Jennifer did give that presentation to the comprehensive health directors, so that they can utilize that information positively and make some changes in their area.
Yonko, thanks.
Yonko. There's a motion on the floor to accept the presentation as information, forward it to Debbie and Dr. Veer at the health center, and grant Dr. Jordan permission to publish the results of the study. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstained.
Motion carries.
And for the record, I'm abstaining because Jennifer is my niece.
Okay. So David Jordan abstains, and for the record, abstaining because Jennifer was his niece, or is his niece, not was. All right, so we're completed with our open session agenda.
A motion to go into executive session maybe at 10:30 would be in order.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to go into executive session at 10:30. So we'll break for a little bit. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Is the door open?
Hold on. Oh, shoot.
Yep, I loaded them in to the executive folder. They're in Word. I had to do that because I can't print. I can't make them PDF from here for some reason. So if you go to the G Drive, the Word version is in the BC Confidential.
Motion to come out of executive session at 3:45.
So moved.
Motion Support. By David, seconded by Fawn to come out of executive session at 3:45.
Door, please. Open it.
All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Underneath the Gaming General Manager report, a suggested motion was to approve the Gaming General Manager report for May 23rd.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by DeHasse, to approve the Gaming General Manager's report for May 23rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. With regards to the gaming strategy for the FY18 budget, the suggested motion is to accept the gaming request for the employee reinvestment strategy for fiscal year 18 to include items 1, 2, and 3 with agreed-upon modifications, noting a final adjustment may be made if needed as the budget process for 2018 proceeds.
So moved.
It's motion by Lisa.
Support.
Supported by DeHasse. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Another follow-up motion was for HRD to bring back an employee incentive proposal for the non-gaming entities for inclusion in the FY18 budget.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Fawn, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the Intergovernmental Affairs Report. The suggested motion is to accept the IGAC report for May 23rd.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under Chief Counsel, the first motion would be to accept the Chief Counsel report dated May 23rd.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by David, seconded by Fawn. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second motion under the Chief Counsel report would be to defer the audit question back to the Audit Committee and request the Audit Committee to bring back a recommendation regarding the judiciary question ready.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next suggested motion under Chief Counsel report is to accept the Second Amendment to Attorney Contract 2011-0313.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by David.
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
DeHasse abstain. Motion carries. With regards to the review of the legal opinion regarding complaint 2017-CC05, the business committee suggested motion is to direct correspondence be drafted from the Oneida Business Committee regarding the three items identified to be completed for the next BC meeting for approval.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa.
Second.
Supported by Jenny. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second motion under the review legal opinion regarding the complaint is to direct the LOC to include in the comprehensive policy governing boards, committees, and commissions a requirement that all boards, committees, and commissions be required to keep standard operating procedures on file with the Secretary's office.
So moved.
A motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Nothing under land claims. We are understanding items for Gulf Enterprise for the LPGA update. Suggested motion would be to accept the Oneida Gulf Enterprise Ladies Professional Golf Association report for May 23rd.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Fawn, seconded by DeHasse. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Second motion under the Oneida Golf Enterprise Ladies Professional Golf Association report is a motion to accept the event schedule presented, including two adjustments, and note the Secretary's office will send out the appointments with the activities and times for each one of the days, noting the full business committee will participate in the welcome message.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There's nothing under the audit committee. Under tabled business is the approval of the recommendation regarding the Oneida Trust enrollment memorandum dated April 25th, 2017. The first motion would be to take this item from the table.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn, to take the item from the table. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under the approved recommendation regarding the trust enrollment memorandum dated April 25, the first suggested motion would be to accept the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee decision on enrollment dated April 25, 2017 as information.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second motion under that item is to request the Trust Enrollment Committee to budget the payment for the fiscal year for fiscal year 2018 in accordance with the per capita budgeting process, adjust for the interest, and to confirm with the business committee when the process is completed, and this will be communicated to the Trust Committee via Brandon, the Trust Committee liaison slash member. Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by Lisa. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by DeHasse. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item under unfinished business, accepting the status update regarding the wage adjustment procedures and directing the subteam to bring back draft policy to the June 28th BC meeting. That's exactly the same motion. Motion by Jenny. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by David to accept the status update regarding wage adjustment procedures and to direct the subteam to bring back a draft policy to the June 28th regular BC meeting. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Number two, the language house proposal and determine next steps. The suggested motion is to accept the update on the language department move and continue to support the initiative and bring back any necessary follow-ups through the team to complete the transition to coincide with fiscal year 2018.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under that same item, a follow-up motion would be to direct the Business Committee's language subteam and the Governmental Services Division Director to ensure that the language revitalization funds are allocated in accordance with the resolution so the dollars follow the language program.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the approval final report regarding Junihequa. The suggested motion is to support Model C in concept and direct the division director to come back with a communications plan, a marketing plan, and a cost analysis for final approval by the business committee before moving forward, noting business committee members Lisa Summers, Jenny Webster, Brandon Stevens, DeHasse Hill, and Fawn Billy will assist with the communication component. Motion by Jenny. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by Fawn. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second motion would be to request the Internal Services Division Director to post the Junihequa Manager position as soon as possible, and that the business committee members Jenny, David, DeHasse, and Melinda act as area managers for the interview process.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Number four was deleted at the beginning of the meeting. Number five review application and appoint appropriate applicants to Oneida ESC Group Board of Managers. The suggested motion was to appoint John Brenninger to the Oneida ESC Group LLC Board of Managers with a term length of 1 year.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa.
Second.
Seconded by Fawn. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second suggested motion would be to appoint Jacqueline Zalem to the Oneida ESC Group LLC Board of Managers with a term length of 2 years.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by David. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The third motion is to appoint Leslie Wheelock to the Oneida ESC Group LLC Board of Managers with a term length of 3 years.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under item six, directing the Housing Authority Executive Director to provide update on process to exceed FY16 Indian Housing Plan acquisition rehabilitation limit. The suggested motion would be to proceed with the exception to the 2016 Indian Housing Plan limit and request the Housing Authority Director to work with the Division of Land Management to complete the process.
So moved.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? DeHasse abstains. Motion carries. Number seven, the approval of the reorganization proposal and consolidation plan. The suggested motion was to accept the reorganization proposal and consolidation plan in concept and direct the division director to work with finance and human resources to formulate a comprehensive plan, including but not limited to strategic plan, transition plan, cost analysis, and communication plan.
So moved.
Motion by Jenny. Is there support? Is there support on the motion?
Second.
Motion by Fawn. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Lisa abstains. Motion carries. The next item is reviewing community concern 2017 CC07. The motion would be to accept community concern 2017 CC07 as information and direct Councilman Brandon Stevens, liaison to the Gaming Commission, to set a meeting in the next 2 weeks with the Business Committee and the Gaming Commission.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by DeHasse. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstained.
David abstains. Fawn abstains.
Okay.
Next is the review of the complaint 2017 DR0805. The suggested motion would be to accept the complaint 2017 DR0805 as having merit and assign council members Hill, Billy, and Webster to the complaint.
So moved.
Motion by David, seconded by Jenny. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
Fawn abstains. Motion carries. And just to note for the record, I have recused myself from this matter.
As I did.
As well as David. Okay. The next item under new business, number one, is the approval of limited waiver of sovereign immunity for Wonder Lake Inc. contract 2017-0155.
Make a motion to approve limited waiver of sovereign immunity contract number 2017-0155.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by DeHasse to approve the limited waiver of sovereign immunity. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. New business number two, approved development division reorganizational structure. The suggested motion was to defer the request to the next business committee meeting, and that Councilman Hill and Vice Chairwoman Danforth will follow up with the assistant directors on the noted changes.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Support.
Motion by David, seconded by Fawn. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second motion under this item would be to require a presentation be done as information at the next business committee meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Motion carries. Number three was delete, or is a motion to delete.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Fawn to delete this item as this item has been completed. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Number four, to approve three actions regarding the Judge of a Court of Appeals resignation. The first motion is to accept the resignation of Jennifer Hill Kelly, Judge of the Court of Appeals, as information.
So move.
Court.
Motion by Fawn, seconded by DeHasse. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The second motion would be to declare the office of the Judge of Court of Appeals vacant in accordance with Section 801.11-8 of the Judiciary Law and request the Election Board liaisons to provide the proper notice and communication regarding the vacancy to the Election Board.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Jenny, seconded by Lisa. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number five was deleted at the beginning of the agenda. Item number 6A is to enter the e-poll results into the record, noting failed request to reconsider the changed offer and continue with due diligence with third-party review per the 42617 BC action regarding Ambridge proposal. Is there a motion to enter the e-poll results?
So moved.
Motion by Jenny. Is there support?
Support, sorry.
Support by Lisa. Do you have anything?
I just have a for the record comment when it's done.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
I already have a for the record comment as part of the e-poll itself, but I wanted to clarify because the wording is a little bit strange on this request. The request was for us to consider... I just wanted clarity. It's to request us to consider moving forward. And there were some changes to the proposal, and that's what we were considering, was to move forward even though there was changes, and we decided to not proceed because of those changes. And it's worded strange because it's like to reconsider the changed offer. And we're not actually reconsidering the changes. We were considering the changes and making a decision based on that. So I just wanted to make sure that was clarified.
Okay. All right. That's it. So motion to adjourn at 4:03.
So moved.
Motion by Fawn. Is there support?
Support.
Supported by David to adjourn the meeting at 4:03 p.m. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.